Hello, welcome to the DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, teaching pastor at LifePoint in Westerville. This past week, Palm Sunday, we read this passage from John chapter 12. Verse 12 says, "The next day, the crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and they went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.'" At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word, and many people, because they had heard that he had performed the sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." It's an interesting passage, but if you think about the setting, Jesus was heading towards, the crucifixion. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead at a town of Bethany, not far from Jerusalem. Word was spreading everywhere, and it was kind of a fever pitch moment that they're ready to anoint Jesus to be the king. The crowd, what they wanted was a king who was going to come in and give them autonomy from Rome. They wanted a king who could feed them, who could heal them, who could raise them from the dead, and who would give them the autonomy they were looking for. The disciples, they expected somehow that they were going to be successful. They were looking at, you know, this whole thing and kind of riding the coattails of Jesus. And the Pharisees, they wanted influence. They wanted to be important. They wanted Jesus to basically affirm them so that they could be in charge. But this is the thing. The King of Kings defines his life. He defines his death, and he defines his resurrection. He defines his mission. He defines his kingdom. We follow him. And I think the thing is, when I think about my own life and the people who I talk to who are not followers of Christ, and even people who follow Christ, we all have some type of agenda that we try to project onto Jesus. Think of it like this, that, you know, I have a life that's very important to me, and I want the Lord to bless it. You see what I'm doing there? I'm projecting onto the Lord. I want my thing. I want my life. I want my desires to come true. What do I have to do with you, Jesus, in order to get what I want? Bless my life. That is normal. As someone who, you know, talks to many people who aren't followers of Christ, oftentimes they have a version of their life that they want, and they think that Jesus might inhibit that. And so they want to throw Jesus off. He can't be my king because, he doesn't agree with me on things about life. When you think about the Pharisees, you know, they had their agenda, but they wanted to be powerful and influential. And there are times when people hijack Jesus just simply to become important or to look prestigious or whatever. In all those things, I think what the Lord is actually wanting is just a simple humility of saying that Jesus is the king. He comes in riding on a donkey. He's not a conquering hero that's going to take out the masses with his sword. Not at this point. He is the humble servant of God who's coming to take away the sins of the world. You and I see him as king, and we worship him as king. He gets to define his mission. He gets to define our lives. So then the question is, well, how do we surrender that? How do we surrender what I want from my life? Jesus, please bless my life to being a person who says, Jesus, I'm all about whatever your mission is. Help my life to be caught up in yours. Because that's not an easy thing for anyone to do. If you don't understand the gospel, then I can totally understand why someone who's not a follower of Christ would say, well, I'm not sure that Jesus is my king. Maybe that's good for you, but not my king. But for someone who understands what he's done, for someone who knows what the gospel means, what the cross means, what the resurrection means, why is it that as a believer, I still struggle to lay my life completely down? I think that's the interesting thing about Palm Sunday, is that we see that Jesus didn't cater to our self-absorption. He didn't cater to our desire for our own blessed life. He has an agenda. And when we look deeply into what he did, it makes it a lot easier to be humble. When we look at what he did as a humble God who came riding on a donkey, not to conquer us, but he came in peace that he would save our lives. It makes it easier to say, all right, God, I want to be about something bigger than just myself. Father, deep down, I'm addicted to me. I want my life to go the way I want it. I want to have great health. I want to live till I'm 90 years old and peacefully dream all the way into the kingdom with my family all surrounding me, singing songs. And God, you have a plan for our lives that may not be our version, but you are the King. God, help us to be caught up in your kingship. We are grateful that you love us and care for us and provide so much for us, God. Help us to be caught up in you. We ask that in your Son's name. Amen. Think about how you might struggle with that. Take a second and just talk to the Lord before you move on to your next thing. Till next time, God bless.